Blog Talk Radio.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting sheep but running out. Time ticks by, still I try. No rest for clock tops in my mind. On my own, here we go.
Welcome to another show of the Yellow Brick Road. I am your host, Brian Degnan, joined by my trusty co-host, Brother Michael. Brother Michael, how are you this evening?
Very good, Brian. How are you doing?
I can't complain, especially as I look at the TV screen and I see that the New York Knickerbockers have a 14-point lead over the Miami Heat. And not only am I happy with the score, I've got to be honest, I'm pretty happy with the way they're playing.
I have to agree, Brian. I'm very surprised they were able to come out. It is still only the third quarter, and knowing that I'm such a pessimist, it does leave me a little bit nervous coming into this whole scenario. But I must say, the energy the Knicks have shown and how they're moving forward right now, and especially moving offensively, is quite impressive.
Well, you got to like the new beginning. Full house, sold out, and you know, anyone that is at the game is obviously could tell better than us, but just from watching it on television, you get a good sense that the crowd is fired up. The crowd is into it. You've got a rivalry game here. Not too many of the old faces, Pat Riley, Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, are just some names that kind of come to mind. Not to mention Thunder Dan Marley. But it's definitely a rivalry game. It's a conference game, and the Knicks are in the driver's seat.
Yes, Brian, I have to agree, and don't get me started on those old players, because Lord knows I know how to hold a grudge, but as I must say, since it is only the third quarter, I think this is a real statement coming into the fourth quarter as the Knicks are going to have to hold the lead and really work and keep their energy up. I think that Nate Robinson and Wilson Chandler have done an excellent job off the bench, and I think that's going to be really important, but I think it's very important that the starters who have been established come out and finish this game strong, and I hope Mike D'Antoni continues to put on the pressure and we beat the Miami Heat as I think we should, which is handily, and that'll be a nice statement for a first game and trying to work the new offense in for the fans.
Yes, folks, this is the Yellow Brick Road. Thank you for joining us. We want to thank our friends at theknicksblog.com. That is theknicksblog.com for this airtime. If you'd like to join us this evening, the number is 646-478-5554. That's 646-478-5554. So a good start. The preseason was about a 500 record, but you can't really look too much at record during exhibition games. It's more about a team coming together. We've got a new coach, Mike D'Antoni, and a new GM in Donnie Walsh, and Donnie under a little bit of fire this week, cutting Patrick Ewing Jr., which we'll talk about later on in the show. Also just working on assembling this team. Watching a little bit of the action here, the third quarter has just ended. Coach D'Antoni is on the court, first on the court, high-fiving the players, and definitely a more positive feel tonight, Mike. It is the home opener, but the home opener should be energized, and it should be positive.
Yes, I have to say I'm very excited with the energy that the Knicks came out with. I was reading the Post today, and I was quite disappointed listening to such players as Jamal Crawford saying they were hoping they were going to put on a good show. And there really seemed to be a real negative aspect coming out from the Knicks locker room on exactly how they were going to do this season, how they were going to do. There were a lot of negative attitudes coming out from the press and people like that. I was very disappointed that the Knicks would go into a season expecting to be mediocre. No matter who's on the team and no matter what the talent is, these guys are professionals. But I must say, they've definitely reacted in a way that I'm very pleased with. They've come out very energized. They've been looking for the open man. And this offensive scheme seems to be working. I really can't remember the last time the Knicks scored 80 points in the first three quarters of basketball.
Absolutely. D'Antoni, known for his offense, definitely popular with the Dream Team or the Olympic team that was out there this summer. Sounded like a lot of those players were kind of picking D'Antoni's brain and trying to get some ideas from him. They're looking good this evening. The Miami D did not show up. And as you said earlier, Brother Michael, when a team is not playing D, you have to get them down on the ground and keep them on the ground. Highs from the game, I'd have to go with ball movement. And obviously a big statistic that I like is winning the rebound matchup on the first half, out rebounding the Miami Heat by 3. Knicks 25, Miami 22. Mike, I've said this many times at the dinner table, rebounds win championships, and this team is going to have to rebound on both ends of the court to be successful this season.
I couldn't agree more, Brian, especially with the style that Mike D'Antoni applies. There are going to be a lot of shots going up very quickly, so winning the rebound matchup is key. I also think, though, the offensive rebounding will be important and is always a bonus, but you need to rebound defensively. And the Knicks are really giving up some size there with Quinn Richardson playing the three spot, which can be a positive and sometimes I feel a negative just between, I know he's lost weight and his quickness is back, but it's key that they win the defensive rebounds and start getting the ball up court, because that's the key to D'Antoni's offense, is getting the ball up and shooting within the 7 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of getting the ball up the court, a play I really enjoyed at the end of the first half was the quick outlet by Malik Rose, getting the ball down to Quentin Richardson for the quick basket. And if that's any sign of things to come, it's just going to be an exciting type of basketball. It's going to be up-tempo, and that was just a heads-up play by the veteran Malik Rose. And you got to think D'Antoni, if he didn't go over it in practice, maybe mentioned it to him right before that play took place to kind of open it up for him.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I do think it's important that a player such as Malik Rose is on the Knicks right now. He's a veteran. He's part of a championship team. That was a heads-up play that I think a lot of people can learn from. And he's also a veteran that comes in, plays hard every day, and tries to earn his minutes. And I think that's very important, because even though a player like Jamal Crawford's been in the league for about 9 years now, I don't know if these guys have really been taught what it is to be professional and work hard and day in and day out come in and give the ultimate effort trying to get a victory.
Definitely a lot of highs there. Let's transition to the lows. Any lows for the first half? Brother Michael.
Well, everybody knows I'm very big on the lows. I must say the Knicks defense is not looking spectacular. They are holding Miami down right now, but this is a very bad Miami team. I was actually surprised. I thought with the addition of Michael Beasley and the return of Dwayne Wade from injuries, these guys would be much sharper. I think it's important that the Knicks concentrate on defense. A lot of people have been talking today about how the Suns are going to change from an offensive to a defensive team. But I really have to believe, you can run transition, but you really need defense to win championships. Once again, the Celtics proved that. The Spurs have proved that in the past. And I really hope that the offense does click, but it's very important that the Knicks defense continues to improve. And hopefully they'll show some of that in the last quarter here and hold Miami down and really give them get the victory they deserve, which is by double digits.
Yeah, that's that old rock song, "We built this city on rock and roll." But this team was really built on defense. Many a night I've been in the Garden with that defense chant. And that will have to come back if this team is going to go anywhere. D'Antoni seems like a genius on the offensive end. The ball movement tonight's been superb. Guys moving without the ball. The sharing, they look good offensively, and the defense is just really all about effort, just like rebounding. It's moving your feet. It's bringing a professional attitude every night, and you're supposed to win your home opener. Good teams, no matter what sport we're talking about, brother. No matter what sport, you want to win your home opener. You want to win opening day at Yankee Stadium. You want to win in the Meadowlands for that home opener in front of that crowd, and you definitely want to win your home opener on the Garden floor in front of a packed house.
I couldn't agree more, Brian. It's all right. You can say the you can say Giant Stadium. We all know that's what you were thinking. But I must say it's important. These are professional athletes. These guys have a lot of pride. And I really think the key is, especially like you said about defense and being a professional, is defense can be taught, but you need to put in the effort to play it. There isn't a coach in the NBA that tells players not to play defense or that it's not important. And I really think that's where players like Malik Rose have to come in. That's why you need a David Lee. And these players have to be constantly reminded, though, and I think that's the coach's responsibility, that you have to play defense. Like I said before, the Celtics proved that that's what wins championships.
Absolutely. And tonight, if this is any, you know, what we can expect to see, it doesn't appear to be, the team does not appear to be being run like a rec team. Substitution patterns in the past were pretty random. You know, everyone seemed to get out on the court. There seems to be a pretty tight, solid rotation out there tonight, from what I've seen. And we expected no Curry, hold the Curry, but no Steph either. Stephon Marbury yet to get in the game. Your thoughts, brother?
I believe that Ed Curry should probably follow your advice and hold off the Curry as well. I'm a little disappointed in what's going on with Ed Curry. Not that I believe Mike D'Antoni is wrong. I believe the fact that the press jumped all over it, and the fact that Ed Curry doesn't understand why he's not playing. These players have to start being held accountable. I think it's very important that Mike D'Antoni establishes that. But I am a little shocked that Stephon Marbury hasn't gotten any runs since during the preseason he did. I'm not exactly sure what the Knicks management is doing with that situation. If they're trying to punish the guy, I say just let him move along. If you cut a kid like Patrick Ewing Jr., who obviously would be a fan favorite, and when he'd come in, he'd get a rise out of the crowd no matter what the score was, I think it's important that they nip that whole situation in the bud, and I'd like to know where they're moving with that.
We just got an audio recording of Stephon Marbury on the bench. That is him laughing all the way to the bank, because whether Stephon Marbury plays or not this year, brother, he will be making over $20 million for the season. He did play in the preseason, hasn't played tonight, not sure what the message is, but the end result is the key. The Knicks are getting out and running here. The Garden fans are on their feet. The lead is now 19 points, and D'Antoni, once again, on the court, very excited about the way his team is playing, and Marbury on the court as well, high-fiving teammates. But getting back to the Marbury thing, I don't know what the message is. I do like the half-court outlet pass I just saw from David Lee. Nothing wrong with a half-court outlet pass and just beating the team down the court. Jerome James, shockingly, is in street clothes. Your thoughts, brother Michael?
I'm really surprised that guy seems to have the biggest heart on the squad, and I'm a little taken aback that he's in street clothes. There must obviously be something very wrong this evening. I am sick and tired of Jerome James. I don't even want to think about that. He's another situation where I know he has more years on his contract, and that's probably why they didn't release him instead of Patrick Ewing Jr. But he's obviously just a player that plays for contracts. He's exactly what I think is wrong with this league. But like you said, I really like what's going on with David Lee with the outlet passes. And I think the very important piece right there out of that play was Wilson Chandler sprinting down the floor with a Jamal Crawford and finishing the play. That's the kind of effort and energy teams need to get victories. And I love having him and Nate Robinson coming off the bench, because both those guys, I believe, think they have something to prove in this league. Even though Nate's been here for a little while, I think he really wants to prove that he's a day-in and day-out player and really belongs in that lineup. And as you said about Mike D'Antoni having his nine-man rotation, I think that's a real relief to players, knowing exactly what role they're going to play, how they're going to do it. And it's been said multiple times, all those players are going to get minutes, no matter what, whether they're starting or on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, at any level, you want consistency. You know, you coach kids in high school, they want to know where they stand. Professionals are no different. These guys want to know where they stand and when they're going to get into the games and when they're not. The Marbury thing is a little bit of a head-scratcher because he did play in preseason. I'd be surprised if he didn't play at all tonight. But, you know, we've got to go with the skipper. We've got to go with the new coach, D'Antoni. He seems to have the faith of the players. He seems to have players' attention in the huddle. And he's a new voice and kind of a breath of fresh air for this team. Patrick Ewing Jr. What can you say? The guy left it all on the court. Here's how we feel at the YBR about Patrick Ewing Jr. And we really hope that he finds his way back into a Knick uniform. The effort was great. He's just the type of player we want. I think, you know, New York responds to energy players. They respond to hustle. And Patrick definitely got those qualities from his old man, number 33.
No, absolutely, Brian. I think, once again, I think the Knicks have to go back to really regaining the history and the trust they had with the fans. That was lost for a few years. There was an executive who turned coach who I'm actually want to hope is all right with this whole situation that's going on with him. But that guy absolutely had no clue how to deal with the New York fans. He insulted everybody constantly. Bringing a player like Patrick Ewing Jr. would bring some of the history back, which I think is very important right now for Knicks fans to believe that the Knicks are headed in the right direction. And as you said, he's an energy guy. He plays defense, and that's what this town is built on. And I think it's very important that the Knicks don't forget about that. And I know that Jim Dolan is very upset about the amount of money they spent, players they bought out, and things like that. But I think you need to rid the locker room of any players that are just going to bring the wrong attitude. And he obviously was going to bring the right one. And I think it's a real disappointment that he's not in uniform. But as you said, you have to trust in Coach D'Antoni. They seem to be doing well. And they're really working pretty hard.
Trust is the key. Trust is absolutely the key. And I know what you guys are thinking out there. So you're beating the Miami Heat.
What's all the hubbub?
But this is big for us. You know, we needed a win. You, like I said, any good team is going to win their home opener. And I do remember getting excited about Knick basketball last November, but that excitement quickly left. I believe it was a win over the Denver Nuggets early in the season. The Garden was energized. The fans were fired up. This town has been dying for something to be positive about. Wilson Chandler coming off the court with 17-8. That's a great effort from a good young Knick player. And, you know, just to close the door on Patrick Ewing Jr., would love to see him come back. He is the type of player that he's the type of player that the Knicks respond to. And he just seemed like an overall good kid. And you need energy to make it through a long NBA season. And the group that was around last year did not seem to have that energy down the stretch. Winning helps. There's no question about it. You know, winning, it makes it a little easier to show up for work every day. But you know, young players who are fighting to prove themselves and fighting to, you know, happy to practice and work hard in practice are assets to any team. And we wish Patrick Ewing Jr. the best. Selfishly, we'd love to keep him in a Knick uniform, but I want to see the kid out on the court. Please give us a call. If you're interested in talking some Knicks hoops, the number is 646-478-5554. That's 646-478-5554. An interesting player that has not come up yet is Quentin Richardson, the question mark, as I like to call him. Q Rich is not the player he was when he last played for Coach D'Antoni briefly in Phoenix. But he is playing well tonight. And, you know, we talked about this on our preseason show. We talked about the emergence of a leader and whether it's going to be Malik Rose or it's going to be Quentin Richardson. This team does need a leader, and it does not appear to be Stephon Marbury or Eddie Curry. Marbury, you know, the guy is talented. I don't know if you want him on your team bus and at your team practices if he's not playing. I don't know the best way to handle this. And in Don we trust. Donnie Walsh is going to have to figure out the best way to handle this Marbury situation. You mentioned, Michael, building back the trust, building building back the trust in the team and creating a relationship with the fans. And, you know, we've got to believe in D'Antoni and we've got to believe in Donnie. Your thoughts?
My thoughts on that, brother, are that I do agree that we have to build trust in Donnie Walsh and things like that. But in this whole scenario, trading Stephon Marbury, I really don't know what we're going to get back that'll be that great. I don't believe there's a team out there that's going to give up a lot of talent for a player that we obviously don't want anymore.
A salary dump.
Well, they might be looking for a salary dump, but the whole thing is we're looking to get underneath the salary cap anyway. And we're not going to get a better deal than losing $20 million off the books after this year. Whether you buy him out or trade him, if you trade him, there's a good chance that we're going to have to bring somebody back with more salary.
But the Knicks would never bring back bad contracts in exchange for an expiring contract. Come on, Mike.
I know. It's a crazy thought for me to bring up. But that's where, in this new regime, I trust that they're going to try to do the best thing for the Knicks. And I just see no way besides just releasing this player outright. I mean, granted, he might sign with another team that might come back to bite us, but I really think he's going to be much more destructive on the bench, not playing. And as you said, if we win, no one's really going to care about it. But if we start to lose, there's absolutely no reason to have him on the bench when he could be in some other town, because he obviously wants to play for a contract next year, and he's not going to be happy about not playing.
Absolutely not. Trading is risky, and we've learned that the hard way. Some people would like to get Stephon Marbury out of here as soon as possible.
Meep, meep.
That is our Nate Robinson call. Another player who has played with a lot of energy and appears to be taking minutes away from Stephon Marbury. How's Nate doing tonight, Michael?
I think Nate's doing outstanding. What he brings to the court is defense, fast play, and he's not afraid to take a shot, which I actually really love. Sometimes there are shots that he takes and Jamal Crawford that make me want to pull my hair out. But amazingly, they seem to go in about 50% of the time.
Is that where all your hair's gone, Michael?
Absolutely, Brian. Well, obviously I've been watching a lot of Knick games then since I've been pulling my hair out a lot lately.
It's been a tough 7 years.
It has been a very tough 7 years. I'm glad you pointed that out. Everybody says I have a face for radio. But on top of that, Nate Robinson just brings an energy, and New York loves it, and he's the exact kind of person I would like to bring off the bench. And as I said, he plays defense very hard. He's not afraid to take the big shot. And if he's willing to come in and try to earn his minutes, which he seems to be doing, he plays in every summer league, which some people might say is strange, but he's really just trying to prove that he belongs, and he's practicing very hard to fulfill the needs that the Knicks seem to be asking him.
Alrighty then.
Nicely put, Brother Michael. Brother Michael is the talent, if you will, here, and he is the all-knowing NBA genius. Who is this kid coaching the Miami Heat, Mike? I've never seen this guy before in my life.
I believe it's Eric Strombo. What they mentioned before, he started off in the video room. He's worked his way up. His father has been an executive with, I believe, last the Nets. He's supposed to bring a lot of energy. It's supposed to be a nice, youthful team here. I have to say, though, the Heat have to be a little disappointed due to the fact that they have two All-Stars on the team and a second pick in this year's draft, and they do not seem to be putting the ball into Beasley. If he's the future, I'm very surprised at the fact that they're not trying to use him more and establish an inside game, especially against the Knicks, that right now have 2 6'9" players starting in their front court, and Q Rich, I would say, is no more than 6'6". But obviously they need to get Dwayne Wade the ball, and they need to get Sean Marion the ball. Miami right now just seems to be in total disarray. To be losing by 16 points in the fourth quarter and down by 20 at one point to the Knicks is kind of embarrassing. They're continuing to play. That's the one thing I have to give them credit for. They seem to be moving forward. They're not quitting on the team, even though they were down 20 in the third quarter. And I think that's the example of a very good, very good coach. But that's what the kind of effort I expect from all professionals. Mike D'Antoni seems to be bringing a lot of energy, as I said. I know it probably sounds as if we're repeating ourselves, but I just can't talk about how excited I am and the fact that the Knicks are coming out playing hard. But really, these last 4 minutes are going to be key to see how the Knicks respond to all these things. I must say, bringing up the Ed Curry thing, the fact that he's not playing, I'm very surprised. But I do believe that Mike D'Antoni is the type of coach that if Ed Curry comes in, works hard, and tries to play, he'll eventually crack his way into the lineup, especially if he's a player the Knicks need. When you listen to players today talking about the fact that they're not in built for a certain system or anything like that, that might be true to a degree. But playing defense and getting rebounds and trying to score into the basket can be used by any coach at any period. Mike D'Antoni said it best when people were stating that they thought that maybe David Lee wasn't exactly the type of player that Mike D'Antoni would want. Mike D'Antoni's response was, he gets 10 points and 10 rebounds a game. What kind of coach wouldn't want that? I think that's extremely important when it comes down to it, that Mike D'Antoni views players as what they produce and not what they aren't. David Lee might not be Amari Stoudemire, but how many players really are? I think it's very important that we keep the attitude that we play with what the Knicks have, we try to move forward, and not worrying about 2010, which everybody seems to be bringing up at every moment. We need to have a winner on the floor right now, and we need to keep trying to move forward. And even though we are playing the Heat tonight, as I said, it might sound really bad, and I might be a real pessimist, but, I mean, they're not a very good team. But the Knicks are scoring a lot of points on them, and the Knicks are beating a team that I think they should beat. The Knicks have talent. It's a lot of individual talent, but I think bringing in a coach like Mike D'Antoni really emphasizes the fact that he's going to use their talents to try to get shots off, and they're not going to try to put these players that obviously don't work very well in a structured environment to continue to try to do that. He's going to get players to go one-on-one, quick shots, and if that doesn't work out, then they'll break it down and try to get into a half-court game.
Could Coach D'Antoni just pop a pill? What's going on? Is that an Alka-Seltzer? He looks a little stressed out. We're happy to have Coach D'Antoni here. A questionable signing. A lot of people, Michael, I believe you wanted to go with maybe a Mark Jackson, someone who might come in and really concentrate on the defensive end of the ball. Not too many people saw D'Antoni joining the Knicks or making the trip east. A lot of people thought he'd go for a job that has a little more talent, a little more upside. We were discussing the projected number of wins for the Knicks this season was 34. That was in our preseason show, Brother Michael, and I believe you went low on that one. You did not believe they would reach the 34 mark. And I went high. I went above. And we will start that tracker. We will start that tracker at the end of this game. There are 4 minutes to play. The Knicks are in are still in control. However, it is now a 12-point lead with Miami with the ball. This will be a good test for the Knicks here. Their ability to close out games and play defense when it really counts. Obviously, every possession is valuable, but you know, being able to play defense and lock your opponent down, protect the lead down the stretch, is the difference between winning and losing in this league. And the teams that can bring that effort every night in a long and grueling season are the ones who come out on top and basically make the playoffs. You play defense and work hard in this league. And the Eastern Conference, for sure, you should be able to make the playoffs.
The fact that teams in the Eastern Conference are able to make the playoffs with a subpar 500 record is embarrassing to me. And the fact that the East has fallen so quickly is very disconcerting. I think the important thing to remember is, Brian, that the Knicks do match up very well against the Miami Heat, though. They have a very small front line in the 4 and 5 position, and David Lee and Zach Randolph should be exploiting that. I'm actually surprised as well that the Knicks aren't trying to pound the ball in a little bit more to Zach Randolph, who I'm very afraid is going to fall in love with the three-point shot. He seems to be very much like the Rasheed Wallace type, where he's able to bang on the inside. He has a great post-up game, but he seems to like want to shoot three-pointers and be on the outside far too often. I miss the days of having bigs that took pride in being in the paint and trying to score down low.
Gone are the days of Jerome James and Frederick Weiss. Randolph has his work cut out for him, obviously. It is a tall order. Calling him a big, I think, is a bold statement. I think Zach is a solid four, some would argue a West Coast four. But I do like, I've always liked the way Randolph finds a way to rebound. Defensively, could use some coaching and some teaching. But I think the kid plays hard, and that's one thing I have liked about Zach Randolph since they got him. Some of his shot selection, there are a few head scratchers in there. But for the most part, I think we're going to see a tremendous upside from Zach Randolph this season under the tutelage of Mike D'Antoni.
Well, the D'Antoni, Tony, always seems to work very hard on the pick and roll. He had that very much with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire. And I'm surprised they're not trying to use that more with Zach Randolph, who does have about a 17-foot range, but can also roll to the basket. And you say he's not a big – I know he's not the tallest guy in the world, but – If I recall, when he first came into the league, he has an enormous wingspan, and that makes a huge difference in this league for a shorter guy trying to play bigger. I believe he's about the same size as Elton Brand, and I definitely think you would consider him as one of the inside player who can dominate, and he as well has a huge wingspan. So I think it has a lot to do for Zach Randolph putting in the effort and dedicating himself to playing the game the right way. And I think he would obviously be an all-star in this league.
We are big fans of the Peekskill native, Elton Brand, and if he ever wound up in a Knick uniform, now it might be a little bit late, but definitely the type of player who embodies the Knick image in Elton Brand.
Well, Brian, we will be seeing him, I believe, Friday at 7 o'clock. The next game will be against the 76ers, which will be a nice test for the New York Knicks.
Is that a road game?
That is a road game. Going down, take me down to Philly.
That's it. We'll be... The Knicks will be heading down, I-95, the New Jersey Turnpike, to the beautiful city of Philadelphia, the city that loves you back. And it should be a good test. The Knicks seem to be in control here. We're getting a look at Stephon Marbury, and he's pouting. And he's sitting next to Jerome James, who is sleeping. So you've got Marbury pouting, Jerome James sleeping.
And I believe was that a chicken wing I saw in that Curry's hands? I believe he's eating on that bench, Brian.
Eddie Curry does seem to have a big appetite, but he's trying to lose some weight, Brother Michael. So let's applaud that. And you want to talk about a big? Ed Curry is big, and he is the type of player I envision when you speak of about a big. A player who can play with his back to the basket. Rebounding has never been Eddie Curry's strength. But I think if we're going to be successful this year, we need Eddie Curry in shape, and we need Eddie Curry on the court for at least a limited amount of time.
I agree. When we did stock up, stock down, I thought his stock was going to be way up. I thought Ed Curry was going to come into the season trying to prove something that he can play and is very good in any situation. He's another player. He's still young enough that after this contract's up, he's going to be useful to another team and have the body to probably still play. The fact that he decided to show up in terrible shape and this mysterious illness he had that kept him out for the entire preseason did not put a good taste in my mouth, and I was actually very disappointed. I thought Ed Curry had a lot to prove this year. He said he thought he was an all-star about 2 years ago. But when you don't rebound and you don't play defense, I don't think believe that makes you an all-star.
Eddie Curry.
Come out wherever you are.
And help us, Eddie. Get on D'Antoni's. Get on the bus. Get on his program. We've got a caller from the 914 area code. Caller, you're on the air. You're on the YBR.
Brother Michael, Brother Brian, thank you for having me. Rocco from Queens. First-time caller. Long-time listener. I'm really enjoying what you guys are talking about over here. I think you're making some excellent points. My one question is, where is Steph? Stephon Marbury is the best player in the building, and he's not on the freaking floor. This is ridiculous to me. This. I don't understand what the heck's going on. D'Antoni, I usually sign on to what he's got going, but this guy, he's got his head somewhere right now, and I'm tempted to say it's where the sun don't shine.
Hey, a strong point, caller.
Come out wherever you are.
Stephon Marbury, get out here, according to Rocco from Queens. We want to see Steph on the court is your message, sir. I've got to agree with you in the small fact that if you play the guy in preseason games, what are you trying to do tonight? You trying to embarrass the guy? Are you trying to, get
Well, everybody already knows. this is strong personality in the clubhouse, and now you're going to screw with the whole clubhouse dynamic. This is what makes me nervous. I mean, Steph, obviously a leader, you know, leader on the court, leader in the clubhouse, you know. I think D'Antoni's making a big mistake here, and I'm nervous. I'm worried for the psyche of the team and what's going to happen. This is a long season we got to keep in mind here, and I think to begin to create such rifts so early in the season, it's potentially very dangerous.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rocco. It could blow up, and it's probably not. It could blow up. You've got to ask for Stephon Marbury. When is he going to blow up? The message here is clear. Marbury is not part of the plans. We mentioned earlier, you hate to see Patrick Ewing Jr. be a cut if, you know, Marbury's going to get bought out or not be part of the plans in this early part of the season. Brother Michael, your thoughts on Stephon Marbury?
Rocco, thanks for calling in. I completely agree in the fact that either you're going to play Marbury or you're not. You have to make a decision one way or another. And if you're going to keep him on the team, he's got to get minutes. He's obviously very talented. He's got something to prove this year because he's playing for a contract. And I think he would play extremely hard and be a bonus to the Knicks. But if you don't want him around and you don't think he's going to give the right message to younger teammates and be a good role model, just send him on his way.
Rocco, have you been tracking the stock market, sir?
I think you guys are making fair points, and I think at this point, I think Steph's stock is undervalued right now.
Okay,
I mean,
so you're going to say you think Stephon Marbury's stock is on the rise and on the way up?
That's a value play right there. I would say it's a value play. It's undervalued. It's a value play.
Absolutely.
Listen, guys, I got to get back
player.
To. I got to get back to my pasta sauce. I thank you guys for your time. It's a pleasure listening to you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rocco. Stephon Marbury, a value play. At $21 million a year, I don't know what kind of value Rocco is talking about. But I have to agree with him in the fact that, you know, consistency is the key and earning playing time is the key. There has to be a standard for play on the court. There has to be a standard for behavior off the court. And if a player is meeting those qualifications, he should see time. There should be consistency on a nightly basis. Now, this is the first regular season game. So the message I am getting here is that Stephon Marbury, along with Eddie Curry, is not part of the rotation.
I concur, Brian. And also, I believe what you're saying as well. If they're telling Stephon Marbury to act a certain way, and he's fulfilling those requirements that the new coach has brought in, and then you're going to sit him because you don't want what he's done in the past, and that's going to affect it, then that's just wrong. From everything I've heard from Stephon Marbury, from everything I've seen, he seems to be doing exactly what Mike D'Antoni has been asking him to do. Mike D'Antoni has been quoted as saying everything they've asked him to do, he's done. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we find out something after the game, because I'm sure there'll be many questions as to why Stephon Marbury hasn't played, and I'm actually interested in seeing what the response is going to be.
Yeah, the response is always going to be positive when you are victorious, and it looks like the Knicks are going to hold on here. But it's definitely a big question mark, and the New York media will be all over this one. Heading to the phone lines, a caller from the 914. Caller, you are on the air. Caller, are you there? Caller. 914. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties with the caller from 914. Hopefully they will be getting back in touch with us soon. It is now a six-point game with under 20 seconds to play. Two-possession game. The Italian Stallion is out on the court, high-fiving teammates. He has not seen action tonight, and justly so.
Danilo caught a little bit of action, Brian. I believe you were going through some notes at that point. He took two shots. He hit the rim twice and missed. I think D'Antoni's just trying to appease the fans and bring him out and show it off a little bit. I must say it is a little disheartening that the Knicks have not continued to dominate this game, that they allowed the Miami Heat back in. They probably will be able to hold this one out, which is, as you said, very important to win your home opener and the season opener. And it's just – you would hope that the Knicks would be able to hold off and really dominate a team like Miami. I believe very good teams will be able to do that. And it makes me a little nervous going into the next game against what is supposed to be a much improved 76er team.
The 76ers, you know, we were guilty of looking ahead to that Sixer game and kind of writing this game off. Being able to close out games is key. That's where defense is very important. And the Knicks have not shown too much shutdown defense, but a great opportunity here to close out the game strong. And any way you get that home opening win, you'll take. Obviously, there's ways you like to win. Going, you know, into the fourth quarter and playing strong in the fourth quarter, but the victory is the most important piece that needs to come out of this game one, this home opener against the Miami Heat, as you said earlier in the show, a team you should beat.
No, absolutely, Brian. And I don't want to take away from the Knicks getting a victory in the first game at all. It really doesn't matter who they're playing. And as in the NFL has proven with the New York Jets, a win is a win no matter how you get it, even if it's an ugly one. And it's a long season. This is a great way to start it off for the Knicks, to come out, to be successful in Mike D'Antoni's offense and try their best. I must say that Miami is keeping this closer than I'd like them to. And hopefully the Knicks will be able to do the small things and hit free throws to carry them into a victory.
Yes, it is a three-point game at this point, and the Knicks will have to hit free throws to win the game. Coach D'Antoni showing a little fire on the sideline, something we'd like to see. And Jamal Crawford shaking his head. Is Jamal Crawford a player you want on the court at the end of a game, Michael?
To me, Brian, no. Jamal Crawford seems to have absolutely no clue what happens when playing defense. I don't think it's for a lack of effort. I just don't think he's ever been coached in that department. He is an exceptionally good offensive player, but I do believe he really needs to be on for those things to happen. And to be honest, I'd rather see a player who just stepped in, as in Marty Collins or Q Rich, coming in and doing their best at trying to defend Miami Heat and to control the ball. Jamal Crawford's type of gunslinger sometimes, that I think if he has an open shot, he's going to take it. And in the weaning minutes of a game, sometimes you need to hold the ball and play smart. And sometimes, not that he's not a smart athlete, I just think his emotions get the best of him, and he thinks that he can make a shot that maybe he just shouldn't be taking.
Yeah. The Knicks do hold on for the victory. Coach D'Antoni does the traditional coach's finger point. Gone are the days of a coach's handshake. He gives the point to the video boy. What's his name again?
Eric Strobel, I believe.
Yeah. And the players seem excited. Sean Marion is wearing a mohawk these days. I don't know who advised him on that, but it's a good win for the Knicks, beating the lowly Heat, who had I believe they had the worst record in the league last year, Brother Michael. Is it 15 wins?
I believe it was 19 wins for the worst record in the league, Brian.
Nate Robinson getting interviewed after the game. We are big fans of Nate Robinson here at the YBR. Definitely think it's going to be a big season for him. And Nate. Yeah! 13 points on 4 of 10 shooting with 7 assists. You'd like to see Nate Robinson sharing the ball. We know he can score. He is a streaky player and will be big for the Knicks off the bench.
I think it's very important for Nate to have a court vision. He obviously is a very talented scorer and came into this league as a shoot-first guard, but he really needs to change his game, and I think he's working very hard on that, as I said, better court vision and finding the open man. Nate's so quick that when he gets through the lane, someone's going to have to double-team him, so that means someone's going to be open. And if he continues to put up those numbers, he's going to get a lot of minutes in Mike D'Antoni's system, which is very much of a penetrate and kick out and get the open shot. Quinn Richardson, when he played his 1 year with the Suns in D'Antoni's system, really took advantage of that.
Absolutely. And speaking of open, the phone lines are open. You can call in at 646-478-5554. Going to area code 917. Caller, you are on the air. Caller, are you there? Caller on the 917, are you with us? Skipping down to the 914. 914, are you with us, caller? Caller, are you there? Caller in the 914. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties with the switchboard. Caller in the 914, are you with us? Okay, hopefully that caller will be back with us shortly. Once again, you are listening to the Yellow Brick Road. We would like to thank our friends at thenickblog.com. Trying this caller again. Caller, are you with us? Okay, moving along. Miami Heat, Michael, what was your take on Miami?
Miami is, I believe, a team in flux. I don't know if they've really gotten over the whole Shaquille O'Neal situation that he was so hard on Pat Riley and the players they brought in. They brought in Sean Marion, who sadly I think is a much more of a system-type player. I think he really thrived in Mike D'Antoni's up-tempo style. And now that you're bringing him to a team that is dominated by Dwayne Wade and he's supposed to be a wing player, I think it's showing a lot of things he's not capable of doing. I know for a long time he complained that he thought he deserved to be the center of an offense and things like that. And I do believe he's very versatile and can help out a lot of teams. But I think he's a missing piece, a Scottie Pippen-type player that really will fulfill the needs of an all-star such as a Kobe Bryant. And if they get the right players around him, Dwayne Wade, and if Michael Beasley can develop, he can do very well there. Sadly, though, I think it's becoming abundantly clear that he might not be the elite player that I believe he thought he was. And I think, like I said, it just proves that he is a much more improved player in a system such as Coach D'Antoni's, which is up and down tempo.
Okay, another caller going to the airwaves. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, are you with us? Caller, are you there? Okay, we're having some technical difficulties with the callers. We want to apologize for that. We are in the home stretch of our show here, the Yellow Brick Road. Thank you to those callers who are making the attempt. Our technical difficulties, we've got our tech guy on it as we speak. The Knicks head to Philadelphia. Is the game on Friday, brother?
The game is Friday, 7 o'clock.
Okay, so we've got to take this momentum on the road. Obviously, winning at home is a little bit easier than winning on the road. Philadelphia, in a lot of ways, a lot like the Knicks, have some new faces there who have brought in some new energy, and you know that Philadelphia is always going to play hard. Your thoughts on Philadelphia?
I'm excited that Philadelphia is now taking that next step, trying to become one of those elite teams. I believe with the Knicks getting better, Philadelphia getting better, the Celtics already of reaching the championship level. I'd like to see those rivalries come back in the East with a lot of hard-nosed basketball and things like that. The addition of Elton Brand on paper puts the 76ers as a very talented and upcoming team, and they're going to be a difficult game, Brian.
Okay. Caller in the 914. Caller, are you there? Caller in the 914.
I just want to let our callers know we really appreciate you trying to get in. These technical difficulties are very upsetting at this point.
Yeah, we're going
to
give our tech guy a beating. Very happy with a Knick win this evening. A lot to be excited about. Beating the Miami Heat, it's what you're supposed to do, as Dr. J would say. And definitely a good feeling as you see the Knick fans walking out of the Garden. The Garden needs to bring back, we need the Garden back where it was, where you got energized fans with a defense chant, a buzz in Midtown Manhattan, and just a buzz in the New York tri-state area in general. This is a good start, winning the home opener. It's obviously a long season, but, you know, winning cures all.
Absolutely, Brian. I couldn't agree more. And I think it's actually very important that the Knicks continue to win. The Garden was considered, the Garden is called the greatest arena in the world. And that's not by happenstance. Michael Jordan loved playing here. People love coming here. Kobe Bryant still loves coming here, and that we should continue to do that.
Hello?
Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, caller, how are you this evening? 914, thanks for calling.
Listen, first time, long time.
Ah, welcome aboard. Ring the bell, brother.
Ding!
There we go.
So let me hear some. What do we think about Wilson Chandler? Is this guy going to be a star or what?
You got to like the effort tonight. I believe he had 17 points in limited minutes. You know, definitely a player I think you can count on to come in and make some noise. Brother Michael, your thoughts on Chandler?
My thoughts on Chandler. Coming out of college, he's considered very raw. I think under Mike D'Antoni's tutelage, he will start to be considered and become a very, very talented and exceptional player. He runs the court very well. He plays with a lot of energy, and I think that's exactly what the Knicks need off the bench.
Okay, yeah.
What do we think about Starberry's minutes for the rest of the season? Is he going to be out of the rotation? What's going on here?
Caller, they can only go up from here. I believe he logged in a DNP tonight, and no one knows what it feels like to do that more than I do. You know,
here's my question. Should I throw away the Starberry sneakers, or should I keep rocking them?
This caller sounds familiar. They might be a great raffle prize for the RBC, a little plug for the Round Ball Classic, a charity tournament that I believe this caller is involved in. Caller, I'd like to see you wearing the Marbury kicks for the what annual will it be?
Oh, we're coming up on the 10th annual, as you might well know.
The 10th annual Round Ball Classic. I can't wait. Caller, we are hoping you join us a lot this season. And we wish you the best of luck in planning that tournament. Really does a lot of great things for a lot of great people.
Well, listen, I wish you guys great luck with your show. I think you guys are going to do well.
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
All right, take care.
Going to the 917. Caller, are you there? Caller, on the 917, you are on the air. Caller. Like I said, we're having some trouble with the airwaves. It was nice to hear from that caller, but I know that some of you have not been able to get through this evening. Attempting again. Caller in the 917, are you there? Okay, we will get our techie on the switchboard. And what can you say, folks? Great win to start off the season. Clyde Frazier is smiling and styling as he gives his two cents on a Knicks victory. Not too many of these victories last season. Feels really good tonight. And Michael, I believe I get a check on the road to 34. I believe that's the magic number. And no better way to start off the season than a win in the home opener.
Yes, Brian, you are well on your way. But being the pessimistic person I am, I must remind, the Knicks came out to a decently good start last year, and then that treacherous road trip took place when they went out to Phoenix, and things really seemed to fall apart. So until we get about halfway through the season, I'd like to see where we stand at that point before I start getting nervous about coming in on my under 34 wins call.
Yeah, I believe we have a recording from that flight to Phoenix, an exchange between Stefan and Coach Thomas.
How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Yeah, that one didn't really turn out too nice and really had a negative effect on the rest of the season. It seemed like the season was lost at an early date last year after some positive play here at the Garden. So we can't get too crazy. Looking at the final numbers for tonight, a five-point victory by the Knicks probably should not have been that close. And the video boy from Miami got the Heat to fight back towards the end. Let's take a look at the rebounds. Ooh, the Heat edging the Knicks, 47-46. But still a very respectable showing on the boards by our New York Knickerbockers.
Brian, I have to agree. Getting anywhere close to 50 is very important. But the Knicks were up so much at halftime by the numbers and assists and rebounds that I don't think they let down, but I think they need to concentrate much more on just doing the little things such as boxing out and things like that. I think a lot of those rebounds that the Heat got were on lazy rebounds, and that's something that the Knicks are going to have to work very hard on because they are undersized, and they're really going to need to use their bodies as much as possible to make as much space as they can to try to go up there and grab balls. Because, as I said, this is not a very big Heat team, and they're going to be going up against much bigger players such as Dwight Howard. And while Shaq has really slowed down in the years to come, he still takes up a lot of space and can really get the balls.
Absolutely. No better time to get Jerome James out of street clothes and get one of Mike's stock-up players, Eddie Curry, out on the court to play those bigs, as you would say, Brother Michael. Dwight Howard, they don't get any bigger than that. And Shaq might not be the Shaq of old, but he is still Shaq Diesel. We're big fans of Shaquille O'Neal here at the YBR, and cannot wait for him to come into town.
I hope that wasn't him calling from the 917 area code, I must say. I'm very interested, though, to see what comes up with the Stephon Marbury situation in the upcoming day. It should be an interesting off day, but I have to say I'm very happy for the Knicks. I'm very happy for Coach D'Antoni and the fact that they were able to pull out his first win and the fact that they were able to give the Garden quite a show to this evening. And I really believe that's what the Knicks fans deserve, especially after all these years.
Yeah. Coach D'Antoni, when asked, will Stephon Marbury be played this year, had this to say. not a good sign for Steph. And a caller from the 914 who mentioned his Starbury kicks, you might want to try to sell those. We know that you probably paid $15 for them, so I don't know. You're probably looking at maybe you might have to take a third cut there, maybe sell them for $10, depending on condition.
I hope those sneakers as well were in the blue and orange of Knicks colors. I saw those out the other day on the street, and it was quite impressive that Stephon was able to create shoes with such a style. I think they really do need to establish what's happening with Stephon Marbury, though. There's absolutely, as the first caller, Rocco from Brooklyn, said, he is probably the most talented player on the Knicks, and if we are going to keep him for the rest of the season, you have to use that talent, and you have to give him an opportunity to come out and try to be a part of this team. If you're not going to do it, you might as well just cut ties now.
Yes, yes. And I know what many pessimistic Knicks fans out there are thinking. Hey, so what? So we beat the...
What's all the hubbub?
But any true Knicks fan has to be feeling good tonight that it was a victory on our home floor. We won our home opener, which, like I said earlier, is big for any team in any sport. And it will be interesting to see where the Knicks go from here. We are winding down. We do have a call from the 914. Caller, are you there? Caller. This is disappointing that we cannot get our callers through. We will work on this before our next program, but we would like to thank everyone who tuned in this evening, thank our callers who got through and did not go through. Brother Michael, any parting words?
Once again, we really appreciate the support, and I can only hope the Knicks continue to move forward from here. I am excited with the way the first game went, and hopefully they'll be able to bring this energy game in and game out.
Thank you, and follow the YBR. Thank you.